my brethren and I, excuse me, apparently I've already been talking too much. My brethren and I would like to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And a wise elder that I know once spoke these words. I heard him say these words 22 years ago last month. And you ask, how do you know? How do you have such a good memory of this? That day was a very important day in my life. And I was sitting back there in the back, and my mind became taken away, and I was caught up in the thoughts of the world and my own life. And he made a comment, and he said, we need to focus on why we are here today. And I thought, Lord, you're right. So I offered a prayer. And after I offered that prayer, my mind became calm. That thing which I worried about, that thing which I was excited about and had so much wonder about, left my mind. Now, for each one of us, that's different. Some of us may be sitting here today, we may be excited about something going on in life. Some of us may be feeling pain and sorrow for something that's happened in our life. Something we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to transpire. What will tomorrow bring? I can tell you that right now, it doesn't matter. You may think it matters, but what matters right now is this: to remember. For our scripture from the theme of the week, it comes from Alma 7. And I'm going to start, excuse me, I'm going to start Alma 7, verse 9. Do ye not remember that our father Lehi was brought out of Jerusalem by the hand of God? Do ye not remember that they were all led by him through the wilderness? And have ye forgotten so soon how many times he delivered our fathers out of the hands of their enemies and preserved them from being destroyed, even by the hands of their own brethren? Yea, and if it had not been for his matchless power and his mercy and his long-suffering towards us, we should unavoidably have been cut off from the face of the earth long before this period of time, and perhaps been consigned to a state of endless misery and woe. Behold, now I say unto you that he commandeth you to repent. And except ye repent, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. But behold, this is not all. He has commanded you to repent, or he will utterly destroy you from off the face of the earth. Yea, he will visit you in his anger, and in his fierce anger will he not turn away. Behold, do ye not remember the words which he spake unto Lehi, saying that inasmuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land? And again, it is said that inasmuch as ye will not keep my commandments, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. Through our prayer service this morning, our brother Bob used the word remember several times. Our brother Lee used the word remember. Brother Bob used the word remind, which is a variation of remember. We are here to remember the broken body and spilt blood of our Savior. Lehi tells it, remember, this is Alma, remember Lehi, remember how he preserved you. He preserved your fathers. The Lord has preserved you. He has brought you from before your enemies, and he has brought you to this table to partake of this holy sacrament. So let us remember our Lord and our Savior and what he has done for us this day. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we gather here this morning as a body of Thy saints, as we've already been reminded in the remembrance of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the great sacrifice which He gave for us in laying down His life. And Father, may we have that deep realization within our hearts and our minds. We may be in tune with that Spirit that would bring us low to our knees, low in our hearts and our minds, to recognize that great goodness that You have bestowed upon us, that gift of eternal life through salvation. Father, help us to remember and reflect on all this goodness that You've bestowed. And as we reach forth here this morning, that we might reach forth in a prepared mind and spirit to remember Christ, Thine only begotten Son. And so, Father, we pray these things. And we pray that as we reach forth, that we might be those lights that are so needed in a dark and sinful world. Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come to that portion in our service where we consider our financial responsibilities, and typically we take up an offering. But on this Sunday we remember our Lord and Savior and taking His blood and body, we take up an offering called an oblation. And I'd like to share a scripture out of Acts and then talk a little bit more about that. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour for prayer. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And Peter and John, fastening their eyes upon him, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When we take up the offering, we take up monies that we use for sustaining our building, paying for our expenses of operation, and for other things as needed. But the oblation is a little different. It is taken up to help the poor and the needy. And as I was giving thought to this and time to this, it came to me that one of the greatest gifts we have to share, and one of the things that we have a finite amount of, is our time. And I was thinking as young people, and I still consider Shelby and I young people, we tend to go through our hurried lives, we have our work to do and our responsibilities. We stop and we don't think about the older folks. And people, let me share with you, some of the most marvelous times you'll have in your life is if you will go visit some of the older people. Our children has greatest pleasure to go and see Dale and Ethel. Love to be around Dale and Ethel. They just bring joy to our life. But while oblation is a financial thing, I want you to consider your time as a form of that oblation. And to share your time. Share your time with one another. It's a very valuable gift. And think about the oblation that Christ paid. He cared enough for each of us that he'd give us his life. It's his oblation. Shall we pray? Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, as we stand now before you, Father, we do it in the humility, Father, that I feel flowing over me. And Father, I pray for these monies we're going to take up, and I pray, Father, for the sharing of our time as we go out, Father, one to another, and we learn of each other, and we try to understand, Father, what that great gift is that your Son provided for us. Father, we know that each of us is unworthy of what he's done. But yet, Father, we want to thank you for the sacrifice he made. We pray, Father, your blessing will be upon those that have direction of these funds, and will guide them, Father, in a manner that will be pleasing before you. It's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
I stand before you an unworthy and unprofitable servant of the Lord. And yet I know he's called us in his priesthood to stand in his stead and deliver his message to his people. So I ask for your prayerful support. In the book of Matthew,
chapter 11, beginning with verse 29, we read this. Then spake Jesus, saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Comforting words spoken by our Savior. I encourage you this hour as you prepare to take of the holy emblems, to be in silent prayer. I believe that the Lord wants to speak to your hearts today. So I encourage you to listen. And He wants to hear from you. So be prayerful. I'm reminded hymn number 403. What a beautiful hymn this is. One of our favorites. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Still the Savior is our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. What a friend we have in Jesus. His yoke is easy and His burdens are light. Americans are under more stress than ever before. And this is what I learned in an article I read last week. According to the American Psychological Association, in their 2017 Stress in America survey, nearly 2 out of 3 Americans, or 63%, cite concern about the future of the country as a somewhat significant or very significant source of stress. Nearly as many, or 59%, point to current social divisiveness as one of their biggest worries. And we know who the author of division is. The same 59% of Americans polled, which include people who lived through World War II, the Vietnam War, 9/11, believe this to be the lowest point in our nation's history that they can remember. I don't necessarily agree. They pointed to a variety of reasons for their concern. Cost of health care, declining trust in government, Social Security benefits, rising crime, stagnant wages, and of course debt. School loans, car loans, high mortgages, credit card debts. On average, Americans have more debt than ever before in our history. Most have little of value to show for it. They have no way out. And they have no hope that things will get better. Tens of millions of Americans increasingly feel they have nothing to lose. We see more depression in our country than ever before. People look for ways to escape. They end up turning to destructive behaviors, making matters much worse. They turn to things like alcohol, gambling, illegal drugs, spending sprees, overeating, crime, hurting themselves or others. Many of us are touched by these things indirectly, if not directly. This may paint a pretty dark and depressing picture, but I don't see it that way. I look at it as an opportunity, because we have a story to tell. A story of hope. A story of love, compassion. A story of forgiveness. I believe the message of Jesus is becoming higher in demand in the condition we find ourselves in. We know that there are those outside our country that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness and truth. And as we are humbled, we too seek greater light. I was reminded of another favorite hymn of ours that we sing often. Hymn number 4438. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right, a story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. Weave a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us His Son to save us and show us that God is love. And show us that God is love. We've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We have a story to tell, and we should be telling it. None of us are completely immune to the stresses and struggles of life. We were always taught to pay our debts. I believe I learned that from my parents and my grandparents. My grandpa and Grandma Harper, Grandma Bessie and Grandpa Francis Sr., they were married in 1929 in a little home in Woodbine, Iowa. They had their future ahead of them. My grandpa was a farmer. They didn't quite know what was in store for them. They lived through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression. Times were hard. You know, Grandma Bessie was a scrimper. She learned how to save and to go without. In fact, every time we have fried chicken, I think of Grandma Bessie. Our way of finishing the chicken was not her way. And she was glad to take the legs and the thighs that the grandkids didn't finish. None to go to waste. They lived through some very trying times. I believe that my grandfather was in debt most, if not all, of his life. And yet he said, "I always pay my debts." He always paid when those came due. My grandfather passed away in 1984. And those that that farmed in the mid-80s, you know that things were pretty tough for farmers. Many had to sell their farms and take up other professions. My grandparents bought a couple farms and worked hard. And by 1986, when times were really tough, they were encouraged to sell. You see, the debt on their loans, the interest was accruing at $500 every day. And had they sold, they would have been $800,000 short of paying their debts. Nevertheless, they remained faithful. took a lot of hard work and sacrifice. And you know they always paid their tithing. You know, as I mentioned, Grandpa passed away. He was not able to witness one of the greatest miracles of their life. For a little over 10 years after, my Grandma Bessie witnessed the final payment of that great debt. I can only imagine the joy that she felt, the relief of having that weight, that burden lifted. Many of us carry debts. Debts take many forms. Today, we come bearing a different kind of debt. The debts of sin. Also very heavy and burdensome. Perhaps debts of lust and greed, envy, pride and selfishness, perhaps a sharp tongue, backbiting, tail-bearing. Every single one of us carries a burden, a debt. In James chapter 2, verse 10, we read, "For whosoever shall, save in one point, keep the whole law, he is guilty of all." Not a one of us is without debt. This is why our loving Savior died for you and for me. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This gift that He gives freely to you, to me, and not only to us, but to all His creation. Those that would come unto Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, seeking repentance. In Matthew chapter 6, we read the Lord's Prayer. And the part I want to focus on this morning is this: "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In verse 16, "For if you forgive men their trespasses who trespass against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." How important it is for us to understand that. I'm sure you've heard this or seen it before, the way that they trap monkeys in Africa and India. They put something that the monkey wants inside of a little vessel where the opening is just big enough to get his hand through, but not his fist. When he grabs those items in that vessel and pulls out, he can't get his hand out. And he's burdened by that. But he doesn't let go of those things that he wants for himself. We're kind of like that. We seek forgiveness, and yet we hold on to those things that have happened last month, last year, or years from today. Today is the day to forgive your brother and your sister. For those burdens just weigh us down. The Lord wants to relieve us of those things, but we're holding on. We need to let Him lift all of our burdens. Peter asked the Lord, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" What did Jesus say? "I don't say unto you seven times, but 70 times seven." Basically, there is no limit to the number of times that you must forgive your brother or your sister. He told him a parable of the king that would reckon with his servants from time to time, those debts that he lent unto them. And the one that came unto him owing him, say, 10,000 talents. In today's terms, that many believe to be many millions of dollars. And he had not to pay. And the king ordered that he and his wife and his children would be sold. And I never thought about this until just this morning. What value did they have other than becoming slaves to that debt that they owed? Sin is like that. We become enslaved to those things that burden us. And he asked his Lord to be merciful. "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. That same servant went to a fellow servant that owed him 100 pence, just a few dollars, and threatened his life unless he paid. Hypocritical, isn't it? The Lord caught wind of this and said, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thy fellow servant even as I had pity on, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if from your hearts you forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It's important that we love one another as Christ loves us. In Galatians 6 and 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When we stepped out in faith to seek to be baptized, to seek remission of our sins, we agreed to several things. And we are reminded of this by the words of Alma in the 9th chapter of Mosiah, beginning with verse 39. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn. Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even until death. That ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. This is what we agreed to. Now I say unto you, if this be the desire of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him, that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that ye will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you. And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is the desire of our hearts." And this is the desire of our hearts, to serve Him and to bear one another's burdens. Alma 16, verse 200. And then may God grant unto you that your burdens may be light through the joy of His Son. And even all this can ye do if ye will. Amen.
In a moment, the deacons will come forward to remove the cloth. At this time, I have chosen that this be a time of silence. And I would like for each one of you to focus your hearts and your minds, to watch the men as they uncover the emblems, the sacred emblems of our Savior. Watch the men as they come down and they prepare the emblems before you, and to think upon Jesus with His disciples and sharing this meal with them. Think about your lives. What's brought you to this point? Why you are here? Why we do this? Why you do this? So I would ask that in this moment, the moments that lie before us, that you would, in peace, in reverence, in silence, that you would pay attention to that which transpires ahead of you and think on these things. Hear ye these words. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is in remembrance of My body, which I have a ransom for you." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is in remembrance of My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on My name for the remission of their sins. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall observe to do the things which ye have seen Me do, and bear record of Me even unto the end." Would the deacons please come forward? And this is for the members of the church. And we are glad each one is here, but we do ask that if you are not members, If you have not been baptized into this church as restored in 1830, we would ask that you would refrain from partaking of the sacrament. This is a right and a privilege reserved for members of His church. Nevertheless, we are glad you are here with us. And if there are any of you who desire, who have felt within your heart the Lord calling to you, who have not made your covenant, we would invite you to come and to seek the living waters, to seek out a priesthood member or a friend or a family member who has knowledge of this gospel and speak with them. We would invite you to do this. Now, if you would, as our brother Jared Coons asked the blessing over the bread, if you would, please kneel as much as possible facing the altar.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son, and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him, and keep His commandments, which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
As our brother, Elder Bob Gilbert, pronounces a blessing upon the wine, once again, would you please kneel as much as possible facing the altar.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
are there any who did not receive their portion who desired it?
From the second book of Nephi, the 13th chapter. And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, and witnessing unto the Father, that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can ye speak with the tongues of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. I was particularly taken with one of the hymn selections that our sister Susan played during the offertory. This is my story. This is my song. Brothers and sisters of Christ, is this not what we are called to do? To share this great story with all the nations of the world. Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we draw now to a close of this sacrament service, where we have come and have made preparation, and indeed this day remembered that which Jesus did for us, may we as a congregation, as we depart this place, do so under your blessing, with your Spirit going before us and being with us in our homes and in our places of business this week, until we can return again to this sanctuary to worship thee. We would pray and ask this blessing. Bless your people that they might be fervent in testimony, that they might have this Holy Spirit well up within them that they received when they were baptized, that it might bring them to share this story with their neighbors and with their friends and with those that they meet on the streets, that indeed they might taste of the joy that you in the heavens feel when one soul makes a covenant with thee. Give us the strength to do this, our Father, in these last days, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, the author and finisher of our faith, we come now at the close of this time, together as we have partaken of the body and the blood of your Son, and we give you thanks for sustaining our lives that we could come to this point, that we might reflect of your goodness and your mercy, that we might remember the sacrifices that you have made for us, and that we might remember our promise that we have made to you. For we know that you have a greater calling in each one of our lives, that each day you have given us air to breathe, that we have opportunity to learn of your love and your goodness for all of your creation. Let us be mindful of our calling, dear God, that as we leave these walls of security and this sanctuary, that the work continues, that each one of us will have opportunity to witness by the way we walk through our daily life. Let us not take that lightly, but let us count that as a blessing and a privilege that we have the opportunity to share the light in which you have allowed us to have within us. Bless our endeavors, dear God, as we leave this place, but let us never forget the sacrifices that you have made on our behalf, that we might be with you again as we remember your Son and that which he has done for us and that which he has asked us to do for him. For he truly has called us his friend, that we might follow him and do as he has done. I pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.